Thank you, Jacob, for the good reading, and Wyatt, appreciate the song leading, and Ben, thank you for your prayer. Appreciate these young men stepping up and taking the lead. We're glad to see all these young people, but we're missing Brock, aren't we? And Parker, yeah. But we are glad to see young folks sitting back there, and even the older folks sitting over there. Tonight's youth focus, for those of you visiting with us, what this does, it just simply allows us to concentrate a little bit on expanding the scope of our lessons and our worship tonight so that we think about these young people, because one day they're going to have young people, I hope, doing the same thing. They're going to grow up and they're going to get married and they're going to have kids. Can you imagine that, Josh? But it can happen. And Alex, it could even happen to him. And that's exciting because one day, Lord willing, if all things go well, they'll have their own children and they'll be raising them and being concerned that they are growing up to be great servants of the Lord. We appreciate all of our folks that are gathered here tonight, especially visitors. We're happy to have you. As read in Matthew chapter 8, we have a very interesting lesson that Jesus gives us through his interaction with people and then what occurs. In fact, verse 18 makes it clear that when Jesus saw great multitudes, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Now, he's around the Sea of Galilee, and in order to get to the other side, the easiest way is to take a boat across rather than walking around because of the terrain and sometimes the difficulty and then just purely the distance. And in order to make that trip, of course, a boat is involved. Now, how many of you own a boat? Any of y'all got any boats? Even the little ones that you can put out in them? I had this boat that I loved to put in the bathtub when I was younger. I had one that we tried to put on the pond, and it sunk faster than it took us to get it out there to put on the pond. It wasn't a boat fit for anything. And finally, it washed away with a creek flood, and we were probably glad to see it go because it didn't float very well at all. So if you got a boat, it's going to float. Its design is to get you from one point to another. And now it's time, as we read here, for the boat to depart. And in fact, verse 23 says, when he got into a boat, and his purpose was to depart. And it's interesting that Scripture tells us that his disciples followed him. So those following Jesus got into the boat. And whenever you get into a boat, it's important that you wait on folks that are still trying to get in, right? Because what happens if you push your boat off and there's still folks trying to get in? Somebody's going swimming, right, and get all wet. So you wait, and disciples followed him. They got into the boat. And here's the question for tonight for everyone. Would you be one to get into the boat? Now, if I had the opportunity of being over there in the Sea of Galilee today, I'd love to go across the sea in a boat. It would be an exciting time. And folks do that. They'll actually pay for the opportunity to cross over the Sea of Galilee like Jesus did with his disciples. And we think, sure, I'll get in the boat, no problem, right? Well, not necessarily. But here's the point. When it comes to getting in the boat with Jesus, you don't want to miss it. Everybody knows what happens when you miss the boat. You're staying on the shore. I was somewhat amused at the number of folks that will pay for a cruise on a cruise ship. They'll go to a port, and when they get there, they're supposed to be back by a certain time, and they don't make it. And this slide you're looking at is a couple folks that did not make it. You see the boat? What's that boat doing? It's leaving port, and it's leaving port without them. And despite the fact that they're running and racing to catch that boat, you can see by the third little segment over here, what are they doing? They're frustrated because the boat left without them. Now, there's a deal that's made when you sign up for a cruise or even an airplane flight. That is, when it's time to leave, they're going to leave without you. And so, you make that agreement with them. When Jesus got in the boat, his disciples followed, but there would be a point that it would be too late for anybody else to get in that boat. Just like these folks left behind in Nassau. One of the tragic stories I read about was this one. A stranded mom sobs as cruise ship sails away with her kids. Can you imagine, parents? Your kids are already on the boat, and the boat's taking off, and you're still over here. They were a little bit distraught. Because that boat left without them. As we learned from Genesis chapter 6, Randy, you don't want to miss the boat, do you? Not that boat particularly. If you were living back then, where did you want to be when Noah's boat took off? On the inside, clearly. Without question. Well, what happens is we look at the context of Matthew chapter 8. In verse 19, there was a scribe. Do y'all know what a scribe is? He's a guy that writes. And he writes and he copies Scripture. So he was supposedly to be a knowledgeable person, particularly of God's law, because he was copying Scripture. Well, this certain scribe came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. But there's something interesting. When the boat left, you know where he was? Not on it, no. You would think so, wouldn't you? You sure would. But he wasn't on it. Why? Well, look at verse 20. Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, there wasn't going to be a cruise ship leaving port for that scribe to get on. Now, scribes were pretty well off because they had work. And they were used to the good things, the fine things of life. And there's nothing wrong with having good things of life, is there, Terry? No! But he wasn't willing to give up those good things to take a ride on that boat. And Jesus made it clear that he didn't even have a place to sleep. He said, "Foxes have holes and birds have air, of the air have nests, but Son of Man..." So if you follow me, it's not going to be a cruise ship. And that scribe is not recorded as getting on that boat. In verse 21, another interested person comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, let me go and bury my father." In other words, "I'll follow you, I'll take the trip, but you got to go let me bury my father first." I was reading a commentary preparing for this lesson just to see what they had to say about this, and they said it was pretty common to use that as an excuse if you didn't want to do something. But here's what's interesting. The fathers wouldn't even be dead. It's like saying, "One of these days I'll follow you if my dad dies." People get the phone early in the morning, they're not feeling good, they ring the phone, they call up work and they say, "You know, I'd be there at work today, but my grandma is sick." In this case, grandma's been dead for 3 years, so I guess she would be sick, wouldn't she? What's that? If someone calls and says that and their grandma's not even alive. Alex? It's a lie. What are they doing it for? Because they want an excuse not to do what? Have to go to work that day. Do young people ever make excuses about going to school? Sometimes they do. And older folks make excuses about going to work. Well, what was this guy doing in Matthew chapter 8? If you look at Matthew chapter 8, there again, verse 21, "Then the other disciples said to him, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.'" He might not have even been dead. It doesn't tell us if he was alive or dead. But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Jesus is saying that is not an excuse. Jesus was not going to allow that to be an excuse for not following him. Now, where it seems logical, it makes sense, it might even seem like a good excuse, it wasn't an excuse that Jesus would accept. Because that boat was going to leave. And we don't read about this guy being on it either. And it's significant that Jesus is talking about the dead in this way, in the sense that for God, death's only a doorway. We often think of it as a finality only in this life for us. Because really it's just the doorway to the next life. And Jesus was not going to accept that. Then we have another. And this other person is recorded in Luke chapter 9. Matthew doesn't record this one, but Luke does in the same or similar account. And in verse 61, another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." You sign up for a cruise. You got to travel to Florida to catch the boat. Some of you have done that. Maybe some of you have even taken the Disney cruise. Kids are excited if they're going alone. But when you leave for that cruise, what do folks do? They say goodbye. And when they do, you notice folks that they tend to say, "Hey, I'm going on a cruise, see ya," and smile. Not so much like they're going to miss you, because they're so excited about doing what? Making the trip. Taking the cruise. Right, Terry? Excited. But you do say goodbye to folks. It almost makes sense. But what is this here based on what we've already learned? Is this a real reason for not following Jesus or simply an excuse? It's an excuse. They got it. It's nothing more than an excuse. Verse 62. Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." That was not probably what this man expected to hear. He probably felt like he had the perfect excuse. "I'm just going to go back and say bye to those ones that I love." Jesus says, "That's looking back. It's an excuse." And it was an excuse that would cause anyone who made it to miss out on the great opportunity of following Jesus. Now let me ask this question again. Would you be one to get into the boat? Adults, how many of you are going, "Yes, I would"? Right? That's the right answer. I would. I'd get in that boat. If I was there when Jesus was getting that boat and I had the chance to follow Him in that boat and be His disciple, I would get in the boat, right? Now, when He got into the boat, His disciples followed Him. Who are the disciples? Those who made the commitment to follow Jesus. To be a learner of Jesus. To be a follower of Him in many details. But look at what happens. And it actually is what the three that we've been talking about missed. Verse 24. "And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was" what? "Covered with the waves. And Jesus was asleep." If you've ever been out on a boat and that boat starts going like this for a very long time, what happens to your stomach? I mean, many of you all know, we've got some folks that have been out there. Your stomach starts going just the same way. You start getting sick. But there's something even more seriously happening here. Not only is the boat being tossed, but it creates a very real danger for the disciples. Verse 25, "Then His disciples came to Him and woke Him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.'" Now that word perishing is a fascinating word, because it is a word which means violently and completely perishing. In fact, the word used here, for those of you that are into language, Ben and Wyatt. I don't know if Ben's taking the class or not. But for those into the language, the word here is a word that is a present active participle, which means it's in motion. In other words, it's actively happening. So they come to Jesus and they say, we're going to die, because the word means to die by destruction and run. They see this as nothing but death, because out there on that sea, when the waves got up, the storms would come down off the mountains, the winds would blow, they were in extreme danger of perishing, because that boat is going to do what? Capsize. And they're going to go in the water, and in a sea like that, you're going to drown. And they see that as being the reality. They see that they're going to be lost. And part of that word is they're going to experience a miserable end. And so they need help. What happens? We know. They would wake up Jesus. But if you knew that you were going to get into a boat and it was going to be facing a terrible storm where you would have risk of losing your life, how many of you would still want to get in the boat? Few. If you're signed up for a cruise and that captain comes on there just after you board and says, folks, we've got about a 60% to 90% chance of capsizing out in the ocean because of a typhoon or a cyclone or whatever they call them, hurricane, hitting this boat, can you imagine what would happen? How many people would leave that boat? I would. That life preserver is just not going to work in a case like that. Now, a storm's coming. You've got a choice now between two boats. So, what are you going to take? Small one? What's the problem with that? Small one's small. And when you're on a storm, you want the biggest one to hold on to as you can. So, I would probably take the bigger one. Now, look at this slide right here. Do you see these guys? What's wrong with this picture? They're paddling straight into danger, aren't they? What's causing the danger? Well, there's a storm brewing. What happens with storms? The wind blows. What happens to the waves? The waves go up. And are they on a big boat? No. They're on a little boat. And what's going to happen when that good old lightning gets right on top of them? Well, it might be something like this. Not only are they fighting the waves, trying to stay afloat and alive, but lightning is not a good place to be on the water, is it? So there could be real danger. And they could easily perish. But here's what's good news. In Matthew 8, verse 26, he said to them, why are you fearful? Well, we understand why they'd be fearful. Because of what they got to go through. And he says, oh, you of little faith. You see, one good thing about this boat that these disciples are in, Jesus is there with them. And so what does he do? He arose, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. Now, verse 27 says, so the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Who was it that was with them in that boat? Jack, who was it? Jesus. Right? Joshua? And who was there with them? Alex? The disciples, right? They were with Jesus. And so when they were facing the trouble, Jesus was there and he took care of the problem. Now, here's some practical lessons that I want to have us look at before we end this lesson tonight. Number one, three people approach Jesus about following him, but they make real excuses. They're not ready, in other words, to get into that boat and follow Jesus. So they missed a lot of things. And number one, they missed this. They missed being a true disciple of Jesus. We've got a lot of folks in our world that are not true disciples of Jesus because they're all full of excuses. They've got all kinds of reasons that they can't follow Jesus faithfully, that they can't do what this book says. But is that going to work? No. It's not going to work. And so these three, thinking their excuses might give them some credit, missed out being with Jesus. They also missed the experience of losing control and then being dependent upon someone greater than themselves. And as we grow older, we're going to learn how important that is. Because there's going to come things in these young people's lives, teenagers' lives, and our lives as older adults, and all those in between, that we're not going to have control of things. You know, life, we kind of live controlling things, don't we? We set the clock for the time we need to get out. We have a pattern of life we get into, we have control of it. We put a key in the car, we turn the key on, we put the gear shift into drive, we grab a hold of the steering wheel, we have control. We send it to where it needs to go so that we can be there. But there will be times in life that we'll reach a point that we're not in control. And there's nothing we can do. That's when being a true disciple makes all the difference in the world. Because we are at that point going to depend upon somebody greater than ourselves. And if y'all take anything away from this lesson tonight, just remember, Jesus is someone you truly can depend upon. Because we know that God hears our cries. These disciples felt like for sure that they were going to go to their destruction. It was out of their control. But they went to the right place. Jesus listened. And what happened? He calmed the sea. And the third thing that these three that did not get in the boat missed, they missed knowing how Christ can bring great calm in the midst of being tossed up and down. That's awesome, isn't it? When we're out of control, life's throwing us up, back and forth, up and down. Our stomach's already sunk down as far as it can go, and it comes back up and literally things with it. Who's there for us? It's Christ. And number four, these three that missed this boat did not get to see the great power of the Almighty over His own creation. Here you've got those winds coming down, the boat is tossed. Did that make any difference to Jesus? I was reading about how long the storm and the winds could work or have motion on the Sea of Galilee. And it could be for a quite extended period of time. Can you imagine going through the night tossed on that sea because of the storm and the winds that are blowing? It didn't matter to Jesus how long that wind had been blowing because He can calm the winds anytime He chooses. And that He did. He showed His power over creation. And then there's one other thing I want us to think about tonight to take away with us. Those three that had excuses missed opportunity. They missed a great opportunity to know what it means to really marvel at the works of God, because that's exactly what the Scripture says. They marveled. In their mind's eye, they were dead. Because normally that kind of storm and that sea was death for a fisherman on the sea. If they were caught in that kind of weather, it was over. They knew it. They had knowledge of that. But Jesus calmed that sea and they marveled. Because it was not anything but a demonstration of the magnificent power of the Almighty. Folks, we serve a mighty God. This morning we sang that song, How Great Thou Art. Truly He is. But we have to marvel once in a while. And that's what we were talking about this morning. Spring causes us to marvel. These disciples had a chance to marvel, those that were in the boat. But those who were without the boat, they missed it. Now, here's a question for tonight. Would you really get into the boat? I wouldn't want to miss this, would you? I would want to be in that boat because I would want to see Jesus demonstrate the power of God. Of course, it's a little scary. And sometimes for people that haven't yet made the decision to serve Christ, it's a little bit scary to be obedient to the gospel of Christ and to say, okay, I am really going to start that new walk. But Jesus can help us, can't He? He can bring a calm to our life like no other. And so tonight we ask this question. Are you prepared to be with Christ? It'd be real easy to be like those other guys, just make excuses. Because they were safe on the land, weren't they? They didn't have any worries about the sea while they were standing on firm ground. But there were those who were willing to take the risk to get into the boat with Jesus and be His disciple. Tonight, what about you? Are you prepared to be with Christ? Because you see, you don't want to miss the opportunity to be with Christ eternally. Just like those folks that missed that cruise ship, just like what we see in this slide right here, the boat's out to sea. The person's left sitting alone, prepared but unprepared, because they missed the boat. Tonight, we don't want you to miss the boat, spiritually speaking. If there's something amiss in your life where you have stayed on land and made excuses and not said, I ain't going to get in the boat and follow Jesus, then why not tonight? We're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation song. Wyatt's going to lead us in just a moment. Why not do what you need to do tonight to make sure you're ready to be in that boat with Jesus? Tonight, the invitation is yours. If we can help you in any way, if you need to be baptized, that water's ready. Whatever we can do, why not do it now as we stand and sing? Would you come?